Okay, before we get started, there are prizes for those of you who have endured all the way through to this moment. So, first of all, I have here some copies of books from some of our speakers. Here is Jeremy's book entitled Disconnect, as well as Steve Black's What Kind of Watchman Are You? And we're going to give those two books away to whoever has come by miles the furthest. So start your math right now. How far have you come? Speakers, you are excluded from this because why start giving you something now, right? Anybody want to put in there how far I came? See, I would.
281 miles.
281 miles. I've been to Tyler. It's a lot further than that. I got 282, I got 282, I got 283. I got 283 over here. Yeah, just because you weren't using the map and driving round and round and round doesn't catch either.
681
miles. 681 miles. You can tell you're in Oklahoma when they go 681 miles. Is that Alaska? In Texas, they would go 681 miles. Where'd you come from, Plano? Okay, yeah, just not very bigger states, right? How far did you figure?
258.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Watch this. Just here. Your choice. First, Domino Effect by Tim Lewis, the minister here in town with the North MacArthur congregation.
I have that one.
You have that one?
Just say it.
All right, there you go. And who was my other that I had? How long did you say? Two. Okay.
I was joking.
He's like, I don't. Everybody's going to move this year, and next year I'm going to say, who was the closest to the building, and you'll be angry. Couple of quick announcements. Number one is the audio of, I think, all but one. We have one of our sessions that we may have had some technical problems with, we'll find, have all been recorded on audio. And about half of those are already up on our website, which means you can begin to listen to them, review them if you already went to that session, or download them. You're welcome to download them and copy them, and we pray that you will share them with others. It is truechurchokc.org is the website, and you'll be able to not only access that content, but any other content we put up, as well as the plans for next year, as our date has already been selected, August 21st and 22nd, again a Friday and a Saturday. It will be here in Oklahoma City. I have not yet got A-OK from Westside, but we will inform you in plenty of time as to what the venue is going to be. I hope that you will be our ambassadors. Word of mouth is far better than anything we could put out by social media or direct mail or even some kind of other broadcasting. And so if you would be kind enough to go back and share simply with those around you, in your congregation, your friends, and your family, as to what value you found in this. We don't need you to lie. Just be upfront and honest. If it was of great value to you, would you please share that with them? If it was not, would you please not be saying anything at all? Okay, that's just the way that we are. Additionally, I need to thank, before I make some final remarks, but I need to thank all of our speakers on our program. You don't know this, but every single one of them, whether they came from Pennsylvania, Virginia, Tennessee, Louisiana, or the good old OKC, every single one of them came on their own dime. They covered their own airfare, their own accommodations while they were here. They received nothing more than a handshake and a hug for being here, and I am appreciative. They did that not only because they're my friends, and that is in the debit column, not in the positive column, but they are those who I believe see some things that we're seeing and the need to address those things. And so I appreciate their help in making this really, I kind of wrote the checks and they had to all cash them. And they went, did I hear a check? No, there is no check. Also the West Side Congress. Oh, okay. I was going to have you save your applause to the end after I talked, but we'll save that. Also, the Westside congregation, this was something that after it had been planned and announced and we were looking for a venue, we actually thought we had settled on a venue. Things kind of fell apart there, and they stepped up to the plate in so many ways that you don't see. One of the shepherds here, Greg Giltner, who is a retired law enforcement officer, was here on Thursday before noon and was here all the way through for vendors to set up, has been here this morning, was here yesterday morning, and will be here after everyone is gone to see that everything was as comfortable and ready for us. In fact, Greg this morning was cooking for a breakfast for their young LTC group. And then he came around here for a little bit. Then he went up to Oklahoma Christian, where he used to be the chief of police over the campus police. That he went up there and cooked lunch for incoming students and then came back down here to see that everything was ready for us. He and his crew at Westside are responsible for seeing that all the tables were ready for our vendors. And so, again, they were instrumental, fundamental in making this all happen, and I am appreciative of that. And finally, I'm appreciative to all of you for being here. I will tell you that yesterday morning at about 7:45, I was a little wringing my hands. Not that nobody had showed up, but I did not know. This being our first year, it being a Friday, so many people work. My understanding is they made a quick count yesterday morning at 8 o'clock. We had 82 people here. There's some churches that go, boy, if we could get them here on Sunday morning, we'd have it made as well. I seriously am appreciative to each one of you for being here, and those of you who were here yesterday and came back again, and those who had babies that you brought, you will pay the price for that later tonight and even tomorrow. So thank you for all of that. A question was asked of me via someone else a few months ago when we initiated the True Church Ministry Conference. And just so you know, it is the True Church Ministry Conference. It is not the True Church Ministry Conference, nor is it the True Church Ministry Conference, okay? And so it is appropriate to say true, but someone asked via someone else, what is true? Because they said, what kind of a bizarre, weird thing is this? And I realized that I needed to be able to answer that question. It's very similar to a question that Pilate asked of Jesus when Jesus was on trial before him. He asked, what is truth? And for the last 2,000 years, and rightly so, we as the Lord's church have sought to show, both in word and deed, what is truth. But for me, what is true means, how do those truth things look like in real life? It's what we have sought to do in the last couple of days, is to offer not new doctrine, not some kind of new thinking, but simply a matter of how do the great truths of God apply to our world, our generation, our circumstances, situations, if you will, how does it look in real life? And at least from what I've heard and how others have responded to it, I think to some degree we have accomplished that, at least in some areas. Because we know what the truth is, but what is true? A few years back, I began a journey with just that question in mind, though it was not yet phrased in my mind. I grew up in the Lord's church. The day I was baptized, I'll have to be honest, I don't know that I really realized the transition from being one who was outside of Christ to one who was inside of Christ. I was a preacher's kid. My father preached the gospel for over 50 years. I had a godly mother. We went to church all the time. I mean all the time. Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, other congregations. And so at the time that I made a decision at 15 years of age to be immersed, I would have to say it was probably more academic, in that I simply knew that that was the next step in my spiritual progress. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just realized that I've known and been exposed to the truth for a long time, and without it sounding egotistical, I think for the most part I have a pretty good handle on truth. I have not yet explored everything, and I have things that I have modified and things that I've reconsidered, but the real question is, for me, was what is truth? For any of you who have grown up in the church, who have been in the church very long, you know that we have some problems amongst even God's people today, and that we are not looking exactly like what we are supposed to be. And so I determined over this journey that it was time for something revolutionary. Revolutionarily radical. Now, when you hear those two words together, somebody expects that we're going to have some gun-toting militant that is ready to storm the Capitol. When in fact, those two words come from a Latin origin, at least our English words do, and the idea of a revolution is simply to turn around. And it is that one who is radical simply means to cut to the root, as in a radical cancer surgery. And so really what I have been pursuing and what I have attempted to do in much of my ministry and to some degree in this conference is to simply suggest it's time for a radical turnaround. Because in many respects, we're not going the direction that we're supposed to go. We have the right map. And I think in many respects, we have the right destination. But we keep wanting to pull off of the road and look at every controversy and every situation and our brethren with kind of a down our nose judgmental perspective. And all along, we're not making any progress whatsoever. We're just driving 386 miles round and round and round trying to get to where we want to go. In fact, it may even be that our destination has fallen out of our sights. We are those who have come into the church with so much that we are given by God. We are given salvation through Jesus Christ. We are given forgiveness. We are given reconciliation. We're given peace. We're given joy. We're given happiness. We're given a spiritual family. And then one day we wake up and everybody says, "What's in it for me?" When it was always about what's in it for He. In fact, we have made the objective of our living about how do we get to heaven when it was never intended to be our target. It was how do we get back to God wherever He is. That we find our way through the path of righteousness bestowed by God on us to be those who are in a relationship with Him. Today there's arguments as to what does heaven look like. Is it a faraway place of clouds and angels playing, I don't have wings, but playing harps and floating around? Is it a place that looks much like what our world was when it was initially created? Is it this world all crumpled up, destroyed, and reborn? I want to know where God is going to be. That's where I want to be. And that needs to be where our objective is. But between here and that destination is a life that is worth living. And I want to propose to you that a life worth living is a life that leaves list living behind. That we no longer are simply about, have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this? And since I've done all those, that I'm going to be where I need to be. As if it's some kind of dot to dot that when we get there, we go, hey, we've made it across the page. When in fact, it is that which permeates every aspect of our life. Every thought we think, every word we speak, every relationship we're in, whether it's the people that are good or quote unquote the people that are bad, it doesn't matter. We are those who are going to be, simply put, true. Jesus, the greatest revolutionary of all time. In fact, so revolutionary that those who were the religious individuals found him to be one of the greatest threats, at least to their comfort zone. And so it is not surprising to me that we may find that there are those who are resistive to a revolution that challenges even our religious way of thinking. Not our doctrine, not the truth. Those things were decided in the mind of God before the world was even created. But how those things look in real life, finding their way to be in the changing and the transforming kind of life that we are supposed to live. For the last 5 years, I have been looking carefully at the church in Antioch, described in the book of Acts as a church that really was a small church plant, a result of a persecution in the city of Jerusalem that did the very opposite thing that it sought to do. The persecution of the Jews as well as the Roman Empire sought to squelch Christianity, and through that persecution, like pouring water into a boiling pot of frying oil, it bubbled over and went everywhere. Acts, Dr. Luke in Acts says that as they went telling the news about Jesus. And some of those individuals found themselves in the city of Antioch, a hustle and bustle, the Rome to the east, some would call it, a place of great industry, a place of great commerce, a place not unlike our cities of New York and San Francisco and Dallas and Chicago, neighborhoods segregated by economy, segregated by culture, segregated by race. And those Christians went to Antioch, and they began to tell about Jesus first to their own people in their own neighborhood. I so appreciate the statement that was made in one of the classes that was I heard today. We are the light of the world. That means we are the light of our neighborhood. And that's where they started to light. And then others came and joined them. They themselves with a Gentile background and said, you know, the gospel's for more than just the Jews. And we found a church that was a growing church. Growing because they were constantly involved in considering God's word. Day after day, week after week, month after month, even year after year, continually considering God's word. And the result of that was a growing church. Many were responded. Many were saved. Many considered. Considered what? They considered the truth. But it didn't just stop there. They were not just a church that was a growing church. They were a giving church. Though they themselves were new, if you will. For them, that perhaps economically, they were not with a great treasury. But they hear that in the city of Jerusalem that there are those that are in great need because of an impending famine. And they purpose, each one of them, that they are going to give for this. It's as if one small church hears about this large church and they're struggling and they said, what do we have? Perhaps with a Macedonian spirit that even pled to give beyond what they were able, as it was the grace of God that they might be able to be part of this great work. And so they became a giving church. But that wasn't enough. They were not only a giving church, they were a going church. They themselves, the product of going. In fact, if you think about it, that the church has always been about going. From the time that Jesus went from the throne to the earth, and from there into Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to the cross, from the cross to Pentecost, from Pentecost to the uttermost parts of the earth, Christianity is marked by its going aspect, and Antioch was no different. In fact, Antioch did something that in our day and age just seems unreasonable and certainly would be unexpected. When God's Holy Spirit called upon them to send men out to carry the good news beyond the boundaries and borders of that city, of all people they chose, their very, very best. They didn't send the young seminarian. They didn't send the young mother who says, well, I'd like to go on a 2 weeks mission trip, so I'll go on that. They said, we want you to pick really your preacher. We want you to pick your best teachers, and you're going to send them. And they did so by extending to them a blessing, a hand of fellowship that said, go. Go with God's speed, because it is not about us. It's about all of that. I began to see a church, though there is no perfect model in the scriptures or a perfect model in history, but Antioch comes pretty close. In fact, I'm kind of sorry we know as much about Corinth as we do. I wish we knew more about Antioch. Nobody would even go to preach at Corinth these days, you know, well, not with that questionnaire, I can tell you that. But Antioch is a great church. We have a model in Scripture. We have that particular church by way of example, and now we're given with this great challenge to be an Antioch church, to be a New Testament church, to be a true church, if you will. And that has been the hope of this conference, is to begin to start something in you. Because you are what's true. True begins with you. These things, though they have been interesting, they have been inspirational, and certainly I believe they have been practical and relevant, if they never go any further than this room, they will have done us very little value. Some of you will be convicted, perhaps to put yourself more in alignment with the way the church not only should be, but was intended to be and can be. Still others of you will say, I'll share it with one more. I can't wait to share it with one more. But my prayer is that this will be, in some respects, a great turnaround for you, for the people that you know, for the congregation where you attend, perhaps in this city and perhaps in this region, and if God grants us the opportunities beyond those borders, wherever it is. It is the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Philippi, a passage that you're very familiar with. It is where the concept of true even came from. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9, I read from somewhat of a dynamic translation in the Message, but I like the vernacular that I think harmonizes with what we're familiar with. Listen carefully. These are the words of Paul. Summing it all up, my friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are reputable, things that are authentic, compelling, and gracious. Think about the best, not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and the God who makes everything work together will work you into His most excellent harmonies. What is true? True is when the truth of God is manifested in the lives of His people. That's you and that's me. It is my sincere prayer, not that this event has been successful from the standpoint of an endeavor, but that in some way, shape, or form, it has helped you. It has equipped you. Perhaps it has even touched you in a way in which you said, I'm just not going to be what's disingenuous anymore. That which is ugly and detestable, but that which truly is life-changing and will change the lives, not only in this, but the life that is to come. Again, thank you so much for being here. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you for the truth, and thank you for letting us know what is true. May we live that out in our own life. Thank you so much for those who invested the time and the effort to present the messages over these last 2 days, and for those who have come willingly with open minds and open hearts that they might receive a word from you and from your servants to apply those things that they hold so dear into a world that so desperately needs not only it, but those who carry the truth with them. Father, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, the thing that truly is true, that is genuine, that is without hypocrisy or evil objective, that which benefits each and every person, no matter their race, no matter their culture, no matter their economic status, no matter their geographical location, that which is true impacts positively everyone. And may we take the things that we have received by your grace through your servants over these last few days to apply it into our lives, to share that with others, that we might ultimately not only grow and give and go, but that we might glorify you in all that we do. Father, we're thankful for this occasion. I pray for those who are here that you give them safe travel home, whether near or far. Use us in your service. And when you are through in this life with us, please, Father, take us to be with you. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did not register online, there is a list on the welcome table. You're welcome to put your email there, and we will use that to communicate with you. Links for the audio, updates to that, and things that might pertain between now and then. So invite you to do it. Make sure I got everything else that's covered. Next year, August 21st through and 22nd. And for all of you who are registered or put your name on the email, you'll be glad to know that next year you will have a token that will allow you to attend True 2020 for no charge whatsoever. And so that will be our gift to you on that. As I already mentioned, the audio. That's it. Thanks for being here, everybody. I appreciate it so much.